Welcome back, children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to here on Ace of Spades, PDX.com's audio educational and anthology series. And this is Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., your host, show producer, webmaster, audio engineer, researcher, videographer, and writer, doing it all here in the DIY. And today is Mother's Day in the United States. I don't know. I know they celebrate in Mexico on a different day and possibly in other countries as well. But this is our Mother's Day. And today we're going to do, because it is Mother's Day, we're going to do something classy. Yes, I'm going to get classy. For a moment, just a moment, maybe only this show. But today we're looking at the very definition of grown folks music. Yes, for Mother's Day 2021, former backup singer Dionne Warwick carved out her niche as an easy listening adult contemporary icon with timeless songs that endure on true oldie stations and in endless covers that made songwriters Burt Bacharach and Hal David household names. Pop music is a very broad category, though today it is most associated with teen-centric hits. This wasn't always the case. There was a time, exemplified by the retro Austin Powers films, that adults could also enjoy it. Pop music for the over 21 crowd was originally called easy listening. The tempos were slower, with an emphasis on lyrics. Themes were more mature, and the subject matter was almost always about love, heartbreak, and coming to terms with just how messy relationships can be. Musically, it borrowed from jazz, piano ballads, torch songs, and bossa nova, particularly in the 1960s. Classy, urbane, and sophisticated were adjectives most associated with descriptions of the genre. Marie Dionne Warwick, with two R's, a member of the gospel groups The Drinker Singers and The Gospelaires, who were also professional studio backup singers, outfits which spawned numerous other successful performers, happened by chance to be offered a deal to record demos to be used to pitch songs for others to sing by two songwriters she had done session work for, Hal David and Burt Bacharach. Upon hearing the demos, Scepter Records president Florence Greenberg was immediately taken with the young singer and signed her to a recording contract. A misspelling on her debut label of her single made Warwick, and Dionne kept this name professionally. She became Scepter's biggest act, with songs primarily composed by Bacharach and David. A switch to Warner Brothers in 1970 also saw the dissolution of the famous songwriting team, which left Warwick out to sea and almost devoid of hits for most of the decade. In 1979, before she gave up completely on the business, legendary record producer Clive Davis, whose more notable signings include Barry Manilow, Aerosmith, Janis Joplin, and Warwick's cousin, Whitney Houston, persuaded her not to give up. This proved to be her second act, becoming almost as popular as she was in the Love Generation. Arista Records was her new label, which knew how to work with veteran acts, those who weren't about flash grenades at concerts and with a focus on quality material. It didn't hurt that during this time, Adult Contemporary, AC, the new label for easy listening, made a massive impact on the charts. In the latter half of the 20th century, during the rock era, only one other woman charted more songs in the Billboard Hot 100 than she did, Aretha Franklin, the latter who actually covered some of the former's material. Warwick's style of singing, performing, and clothing weren't about attempting to compete with other big-name stars of the day, but instead a focus on her own strengths as an interpreter of songs. For a time, her vocal style was the template of AC, or what Network BET, Black Entertainment Television, called grown folks music. In a world of histrionic, poorly performed and overprocessed ballads that have drowned AC for the over 21 set for too many years now, Warwick is a testament to what it can achieve and what it really meant for a time. A force of power by using subtlety and emotional focus which have even captivated younger musicians such as The Weeknd and Chance the Rapper, yes you heard that correctly, both of whom are currently working with Warwick on a new charity recording. A classic never goes out of style. This is beautiful music performed beautifully. And our very first song is going to be that very first single, and it has an interesting tiny little story behind it. This was not going to be her debut. It was going to be Make It Easy on Yourself, which Bacharach and David gave to Jerry Butler. Did an amazing job with it, yes, formerly of The Impressions. And she got so upset, she yelled at them the four words in this title. Instead of being mad about it, they wrote a song about these four words, and it is just a stunner. From 1962, from the album Presenting Dionne Warwick, her very first single, Don't Make Me Over, and we will see you in about 30 minutes.
Don't make me over. Make me over. Now that you know how I don't make me over. Don't make me over. Don't.
San Jose. LA is a great big freeway. Put $100 down and buy a car. In a week, maybe two, they'll make you a star. Weeks turn into years, how quick they pass. And all the stars that never were are parking cars and pumping gas. You can really breathe in San Jose. They've got a lot of space. There'll be a place where I can stay. I was born and raised in San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. Fame and fortune is a magnet. It can pull you far away from home. Without a friend, you pack your car and ride away. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Do you know the way to San Jose? That never were are parking cars and pumping gas. I've got lots of friends in San Jose. Oh, do you know the way to San Jose? Can't wait to get back to San Jose.
try and pretend now. Clinging to love we both know is dying.
It's dying. We've tried and tried to find us a way out, but darling, our dreams have now all been played out. Still we go on, hopelessly trying.
How many times can we give it one more try before we really say
goodbye?
Goodbye. We're so in love, but wrong for each other. Each hurt that heals brings on another. Both of us used, and both of us using.
Hey, darling, it's time that we stop pretending. There's just no way to rewrite our ending.
No way.
We're caught in this game, and we know we're both losing.
Down the street, and I start to cry each time we meet. Walk on by, walk on by. Make believe that you don't see the tears. Just let me grieve in private, 'cause each time I see you, I break down and cry. Walk on by.
Don't stop.
Walk on by.
Don't stop.
Walk on by. I just can't get over losing you. And so if I seem broken and blue, walk on by.
Welcome back, one and all, and children of the revolution, to what you're not listening to, the Audio Educational Anthology series here on Mother's Day 2021. Yes, and we are going all the way classy and with a truly timeless act. We're looking at the classic career of the one and only Dionne Warwick. And let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and recap what we've heard in the first part of our show before we get into the second part. Kicked it all off with her debut single, Don't Make Me Over, from 62. Following that, jumping ahead 20 years, the title track to Heartbreaker. And that was actually written and produced by the Bee Gees. And even though that group had been having a commercial slump, as producers and songwriters, they were having some of their biggest successes, believe it or not. And the reason they ended up with Dionne Warwick is because Principal Barry Gibb was a huge fan of hers back in the day. Yes. Following that, Do You Know the Way to San Jose from 1968 from the album Dionne Warwick and Valley of the Dolls. And we'll talk a little bit about how that happened, that album title, in the second part of our show. And for those of you who are wondering, no, Dionne Warwick is not from San Jose. She's from East Orange, New Jersey. I mentioned it on, I think it was Instagram not too long ago. If the only thing you knew about professional performers from New Jersey was Frankie Valli and Dionne Warwick, you couldn't do much better. I stand by my statement. Following that, from 1963, the title track to Anyone Who Had a Heart. I know. And if you notice a lot of these, you can almost immediately tell the Backrack David songs. If you didn't even know they were Dionne Warwick singing, a lot of them are in 6/8 time signatures borrowed from jazz. Following that, a duet. The title track to How Many Times Can We Say Goodbye with Luther Vandross. And this is Vandross's first appearance in the show in almost 2 years. That needs to change. Yes, we totally need a show on the Luther. Following that, from the album Make Way for Dionne Warwick from 1964, Walk On By. Oh my God, one of my all-time favorites by any artist. And the song we just heard, Then Came You, from 1974, from the album Then Came You. It was also on a Spinners album as well. And Dionne Warwick, for our collectors out there, for a time in the 70s, had added an E to the end of her name professionally at the advice of a psychic. And yes, she also promoted the Psychic Friends Network and in other songs. She did a duet with Jeffrey Osborne. She said she went to see a psychic in L.A. This is just something that she does. This is like one of her hobbies or whatever you want to call that. She actually believes in this. And more power to her. If it makes you happy, why not? And full disclosure, I actually work for the Psychic Friends Network. Decades ago. I don't regret a moment of it. I am not a psychic. I'm about as much a psychic as Kim Kardashian is a nuclear physicist. Maybe she is, and maybe I'm just wrong. That song was produced by Tom Bell, who was on a winning streak with Philadelphia International Records, most notably in songs with Linda Creed, and then, of course, with The Spinners and several other acts on Atlantic. Dionne initially did not like the song, and she made a bet by tearing a dollar bill in half with the producer. If it becomes a hit, they each signed their piece, I'll send it to you. And, well, she sent it back with an apology letter. No apologies needed. It's a great track. All right. We're kicking off the second part of our show here with a song that was originally a hit for a man named Jack Jones. I think it was his only major hit. It's a great song. But this version of it received a second life a few years ago in the fantastic comedy The First Wives Club as the song opening up the film. From 1965, The Sensitive Sound of Dionne Warwick was the album. And this is Wives and Lovers. And we will see you just before the grand finale.
Comb your hair, fix your makeup. Soon he will open the door. Oh, don't think because there's a ring on your finger, you needn't try anymore. For wives should always be lovers too. Run to his arms the moment he comes home to you. There are girls at the office, and men will always be men. Now don't send them off with your hair still in curlers. You may not see him again. Should always be lovers too. Run to his arms.
You better wear something pretty, something you wear to go to the city and dim all the lights, pour the wine, start the music. Time to get ready for love.
It's time to get ready.
Time to get ready.
Time to get ready
for love. For the wine, start the music. Time to get ready for love. It's time to get ready. Time to get ready. Yeah, time to get ready for love. Oh, it's time to get ready. Ooh, time to get ready. Yeah, time to get ready.
To get off from this ride. Together, that's how it must be to live with that you would only mean heartbreak for me.
And welcome back, Children of the Revolution, to what you're not listening to, the Audio Education Anthology Series. Still Daddy Ben Bear, Ben Brown Jr., host here on Ace of Spades, PDX.com. And it is still Mother's Day 2021. And yes, all good things must come to an end. Hope you and your mom, this is your birth mom, your chosen mom, whoever you call mom, hope you guys are having a wonderful and just lovely day. Let's recap what we've heard in the second part of our truly classy grown folks music show. This is the first adult contemporary show I've done, really, just this kind of music in almost 2 years of doing these programs. So really enjoying it. You know, it's easy when you have quality material. I mean, the Lady Dionne Warwick kicked off our second part with Wives and Lovers from 65 from The Sensitive Sound of Dionne Warwick, which was an album track. And after that, Theme from Valley of the Dolls, 1967. And believe this or not, that song was not in the film. All right. And the two songwriters, believe this or not, weren't Bacharach and David. It was Andre and Dori Previn. And Dori Previn is a woman from New Jersey. She was married to Andre Previn. She's a lyricist and singer herself. And yes, that Andre Previn, the winner of all those Academy Awards, the concert conductor, yes, the jazz pianist. He's had a very long, he had a long and varied career. He's from Germany. And they actually wrote the song for inclusion in the film. The producers of 20th Century Fox did not want it in the film. So they were going to release their own soundtrack. And okay, even though Dionne Warwick is one of the biggest, performers of the decade, most successful performers. So instead of losing the opportunity, they put it as the B-side to I Say a Little Prayer. And they quickly recorded an album called Dionne Warwick in Valley of the Dolls. Well, the original soundtrack to Valley of the Dolls completely tanked. And Dionne's album was the highest charting of her career and one of the best sellers. Yes, made all the way to number 6. And there you have it. Sometimes, you know, you just never know. Don't turn down a great opportunity when you have it, especially when you have somebody as gifted as her doing the track. Following that, a personal favorite. Oh, God, yes. Deja Vu from 1979, from the album that relaunched Warwick's career on Arista from her debut for that label called Dionne. And this is... this is going to blow your mind. So the album is being produced by Barry Manilow. Yes, that Barry Manilow, who also had worked previously as with Bette Midler, made her famous. So, and the song was actually co-written by Isaac Hayes. Yes, that Isaac Hayes. He had changed his sound dramatically from his time at Stax through his early proto-funk in the early 70s, become more of a crooner of sophisticated songs like Dionne. He had actually was a huge fan of hers, recorded some of her tracks as well, and they actually went on a tour together called A Man and Woman, released an interesting, and I mean that in the best possible way, interesting live album that didn't really focus on their mega hits, but a lot of contemporary songs of the day. I can't even make this up. It was actually quite again, a very interesting release. This was just kind of, she remembered this song that he worked on an instrumental, and then when Manilow heard it, loved it so much, he brought in Adrian Anderson, who is a songwriter as well, has been working with him since his debut single. And boom, there you go. This was her second top 20 single from the album and cemented her comeback. Yes. And there you go. You just never, Dionne, there you have it. Dionne Warwick, Isaac Hayes, Barry Manilow. And that happened. Following that from the album The Windows of the World, I Say a Little Prayer from 67. And the song we just heard, That's What Friends Are For from 1985 from the album Friends. And that's with Gladys Knight, Elton John, and Stevie Wonder. And I know there are some of you out there who are like, oh, that's just sappy. Well, you know, it kind of is. All right, and it was originally not recorded by Dionne Warwick, but by Rod Stewart for the film Night Shift. It was directed by Ron Howard and starred Henry Winkler. She heard it in the film and asked to record it as a charity single. And you have to remember this. AIDS was hitting, as somebody who has a long-term AIDS survivor and was living through that era during the first wave, was hitting dispossessed populations heavily. And these are the days before the internet, right? All we had was, underground publications and some mass media, and most of it was negative, you know? And everyone who recorded on this song, who had a physical disability, was gay, was black, or woman, were the same populations. This wasn't like a bunch of singers coming together singing about starving children in Africa, which I'm not telling you is a horrible thing. I think that's a great thing. But there's a disconnect there. With this one, there wasn't. And that is one of the reasons it is actually held up. It also became the biggest song of 1986. And there you go. And all the money from that single, whether it appears on compilations, whatever, all the proceeds from that track still go to Amphor. Yes. And here we are, the finale. And this is actually going to be two songs, and they're recorded almost exactly a decade apart. One in 69 and one in 79. And they basically say the same thing about the end of a relationship. But they're done up so incredibly differently. I did it as kind of a little contrast and compare. one's this sweeping big thing, and then the other one is just much more subtle and sad and melancholy. But again, who could pull that off but Dion? If you have questions, feedback, comments, love letters, dedications, and requests are always welcome. Please drop me a line at daddybenbear, one word, daddybenbear at gmail.com. Find me on my design site at aospdx.com and on the contact page or on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. Love to you all and happy Mother's Day. This is I Know I'll Never Love This Way Again from the 1979 album Dion, and I'll Never Fall in Love Again from the 1969 album of the same name. Love to you all.
And made each one come true. Something no one else had ever found a way to do. I've kept the memories one by one since you took me in. I know I'll never love this way again. If you should go away, I'll stand here and remember just how good it's been. And I know I'll never love this way again.